Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, for just about 5 seconds. John Rush is just walking in the door here.
I'm coming.
Here he comes. Here he comes.
Never fear, I'm coming. I got stuck in the hall with Dan.
You got stuck in the hall with Dan?
Yeah, I got stuck in the hall with Dan. So
that's terrible.
Oh, he was wondering how things were going. You know, with everything and my brother and all that. So it was good. So no complaints.
Well, Jordan is on the line. You should be stuck talking to Jordan. That's
well,
a,
I should
a happy
be. Yeah,
thing.
You know,
it's a fun thing.
Is. You know, hey, you know, but life goes on. Here we go.
All right, there
here
you
we
go.
Are. Jordan, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Go.
Hey, it's always good to be with you as well. All right, guys, we do have to get the impossible question of the day. Let me see if it's in here. Hold tight. Let me
yesterday?
Look. I believe it is in here. Yes. Okay, yesterday's, by the way. People that won't eat this particular sandwich, the answer was egg salad. I like egg salad.
Won't eat, who don't like this kind. Okay.
Yeah, there was like a 40% people won't eat that sandwich.
I was thinking knuckle.
Yeah, the knuckle. There you go.
Just saying.
All right, today's is 21% of millennials. So 21% of millennials say they weren't prepared for this adult task. This might fit into your category, Jordan. 21% of millennials say they weren't prepared for this adult task. Thoughts? Anyone?
Allocating their 401k? Kind of self-interested.
I'm guessing it's something financial.
Piloting a space shuttle. They just weren't ready for it, John. I don't know. I guess
taxes?
It would probably be financial. Yeah, doing their taxes. It could be something more, shall we say, I hate to put it this way, but more immature, like showing up to work on time.
How about not being able to deal with their student debt? Being overwhelmed by their student debt.
That's a good one.
That is, 21%. You know what, though, Jordan? I think that's higher than 21%.
Maybe.
I think that's high.
I think
that's probably reversed. It's like 80%.
But a lot of them just are just overwhelmed by it. Their lives are destroyed by it.
Yeah.
I know what I wasn't ready for.
What?
When a girl would actually say yes to a date. Okay, I wasn't ready for that. It's like, oh, okay, what do I do now?
Is that still true, Andy? Is that still true, or you're now over it?
Well, I'm married now.
He's over it.
You know, but yes, I'm still shocked anytime she actually wants to go to dinner with me.
He's good. All right, real quick, on today's show, we got Jordan Goodman, as you can tell, America's Money Answer Man. He'll be with us first hour. Curtis Chang will be with us the second hour. We're going to talk about the vaccine. And hour number three, Philip Kirpin, make sure I say that last name correctly, why the COVID lockdowns have been ineffective and actually, in a lot of ways, destructive, something that we've talked about here many, many times before. Jordan, give us an update, though, financially. Where are we at here as a country?
Well, the stock market is doing well. Another all-time record high in the S&P 500 today, and NASDAQ is doing really, really well. The country is opening up in fits and starts. Some places not doing well at all. Michigan probably is the worst one right now. Other places opening up more. About 30% of the population has been vaccinated. Records are about 25% said they'll never get vaccinated, so we're never going to get to even close to 100% or maybe even 80% the way things are going.
But, Jordan, aren't the numbers a lot higher for vaccination among the elderly and groups
yes,
that are more prone?
There are, but there's a lot of people that are not 65-plus. So
true.
In order to reach herd immunity, we really got to get up to, I'd say, 75%, 80%, something in that range. So we got a long way to go. Today, the FDA took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine off the market, which was definitely a blow. I mean, they've been relatively small players so far. About 5% of vaccinations was J&J, but it's a blow to the vaccination, and so we're stuck with Moderna and Pfizer as the two players for the moment.
How long do you expect that to be a setback? I mean, before they can bring it back. I mean, how much testing would that take?
Well, remember they had a very bad batch that was made, and they had to throw the, I think it was 16 million doses. They had to throw.
You guys don't want my answer. We're all in that phase right now. I mean, I'm being very honest here in a way. Every vaccine being inputted into somebody's arm right now is a gigantic test. That's why I'm not getting it.
You're in the 25%.
You got it, and I'm going to be until they can show me that what you just had happen today doesn't continue to happen.
I demanded a placebo. They got it.
You demanded a placebo.
I would have been, you know what? A placebo probably would have still gotten us where we're at today. That's my own gut feeling, but whatever.
Okay, you tell that to the 550,000 people that have died. Okay, who got
you know what,
placebo.
Jordan? Those 550 would have probably died anyways. I'm being very honest.
I actually think that the higher vaccination rates in a lot of states have really dropped down some of the numbers. I overall think it's good, but I do agree. We're talking about vaccines that have gone through a lot quicker.
We are the guinea pigs, folks, we speak.
A lot quicker turnaround, much less testing than we've traditionally had. So there's a much higher risk.
Well, but they've moved things faster because of artificial intelligence and sequencing genomes. There's a lot of things they can do much faster today, and they did in this case.
True.
Than in the past, where they had a whole long testing procedure. And the vast, vast majority of people who've gotten vaccines have had little or no side effects and have not gotten the virus. So it's working.
If they sequence genomes, could I get some improvements?
Yes.
That's what they're working for, actually.
Okay, you know, I'm waiting on those.
What are you looking for, Andy? What, how do you want to tune yourself up here?
Taller.
Okay, done.
Cool. Very good.
Can we make people financially smarter somehow, Jordan, where they actually know math?
Put some genes, financial genes,
and
they would
be good.
That would
be nice, actually.
Yep.
I mean that seriously. Most people don't know math, and it really kills them on the financial end of things.
No, you get too many people taking that, then Jordan doesn't have a market.
Ah,
how
okay.
can you do that to Jordan?
I'm not worried about
this.
It.
You know what, Jordan? You are our financial vaccine.
That is true.
We are
true.
Taking
I've been doing
it right
that for
now.
A long time. Yes.
All right. Let's move to something I do want to talk about. Not that I didn't want to talk about that, but one thing I do want to talk about because it's big right now, and I hate the name of this because it's so far from what it really is. That's the Biden infrastructure bill. It's not an infrastructure bill. It's frankly, Jordan, a huge, gigantic pork belly bill. There's a teeny, teeny bit, $115 billion out of $2.5 trillion that's actually infrastructure. How's the market looking at that?
You have to have a broader view. You have to have a broader view of infrastructure.
Yeah, sure, like, I do.
Taking care of your parents and the mentally ill and pre-K kindergarten for everybody and community college, that's infrastructure. You've got to kind of get with the 2021
version.
I'm not
with the program here, am I?
You are not with the program.
I see.
Infrastructure has been redefined as all kinds of social programs.
Yeah, it's $80 billion for Amtrak and things like that, right?
Well, Amtrak is physical infrastructure.
It's a private entity.
Look, I think this is great because now I feel more worthwhile as a person. Absolutely everything I do is infrastructure.
Oh, I see.
I'm helping all of you.
How is Wall Street looking at this, given
that? Well, they like it because it's a lot of spending.
So why do they like it when so much of it isn't even going to go into the actual, you know, market or to create jobs or anything along those lines?
Well, it creates some jobs in the what I call hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure are two pieces of it.
It's like $2 billion a state, though. How is that going to create any jobs, Jordan?
Well, they're going to be building roads and bridges.
It's
and
$2
billion.
Again, I just said it's $2 billion per state. Our budget in Colorado, just to maintain what we have, is about 1.5, and we're under budget. $2 billion in Colorado is not going to do squat.
Well, there's a lot of areas that have been neglected for a long time that are going to get money from this if this goes through. And I think the hard infrastructure side does have a chance to go through. What I don't think is going to go through is what I call the soft infrastructure side, and that's
the pork belly,
pre-K education and the community college and the help for the mentally ill and retired people and disabled and all the other social service programs.
I hope you're correct, by the way. I hope you're correct.
Because I think there is a consensus that we really do have neglected.
We do.
Hard infrastructure.
I'm 100% on that. And I, you know what, as a taxpayer, Jordan, even a conservative taxpayer, I wouldn't be opposed to $2 trillion if, in fact, it were going to hardcore infrastructure, building up our country, rebuilding things that have been, you know, really neglected for a very, very long time.
Right.
I'd be in favor of that, but I'm not in favor of $115 billion being that and $2.4 trillion being everything other than that.
Well, we're just starting the process. It's going to be a long negotiation. Hopefully, something will get done by maybe midsummer.
As you can tell, they probably don't want me at the table.
Hey, Jordan.
Well, I think you'd actually add a lot at the table, and a lot of Republicans are going to say the same thing you're saying. So I think you're well represented at the table.
No, John would just be the guy yelling in the corner.
I probably would be.
He would be. It'd be nonsense. It'd be like the guy. What was the guy in Blazing Saddles?
Yeah,
I don't know no highway, no how. Yeah. But hey, Jordan. When by the way, he was great. He looked like the prospector. I loved him. When we're talking about
John now as Gene Wilder.
There we go. Nice. Yeah.
When we're talking about infrastructure, are they just talking roads and bridges, or are they also talking like, shall we say, energy grids and online access, this kind of
energy
stuff.
Energy grids, broadband access, water systems, you name it, dams, tracks, every kind of infrastructure we've been neglecting for decades, literally.
Do you see a lot of value in that? I mean, do you see that to be something that is better done in the free market or something
that's done in coordination
with the government? No. What do you think?
The interstate highway is not going to be done by the free market.
And that's one where I do think that's where the feds, you know, it's an interstate system. The feds need to step in and handle that. We've got certain waterways and some
dams
projects that way
that
I think need to be handled. And again, as I said earlier, I'm not against any of that part of what we're doing because it's long overdue, but I am against fluffing it up with all the other nonsense. Like, I think there's $50 billion to create an organization or a federal government office to tell us how much we're going to be doing when it comes to manufacturing. No offense, Jordan. You and I and Andy could sit in a room and give us a tenth of that, and we'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, I think it's R&D is what they're putting the money into. We have not been
That's
putting
a separate
much into
line
R&D.
Item besides the $50 billion
I
just mentioned.
I mean, this is a huge bill. It's going to get down to, can they get any Republican support? Right now, there isn't. And it would be a shame to put something as massive as this through, probably the largest infrastructure bill since FDR, actually, with completely partisan votes, having no bipartisanship whatsoever. That's what happened with the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. Not a single Republican for it, not a single Democrat against it.
Right.
And that may happen again. So the way to do that is a reconciliation bill, which the Senate parliamentarians said they can do. So that would be a 50-50 vote, and Vice President Harris being the deciding vote, and that's the way to get to. And it may end up being that way. I hope not, because I think there are Republicans who do want to do infrastructure. Now, a big part of it is not only what's going to be built and so on, but how's it going to be paid for? And that's obviously a very controversial thing. President Biden has proposed raising the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% and to do a global minimum tax. And he's right. Companies are shopping around the world for the cheapest tax haven they can get, and they've got no operations but a mailbox in, you know, Turks and Caicos Islands or Ireland or something like that. And they move things around just by moving bookkeeping and end up not paying any taxes. I think companies should contribute to society, and it's a political thing. To get a worldwide minimum tax, I think, is not going to happen. I just don't think the countries are going to cooperate with something
like that.
No,
they're not. Why would they?
Well, there's a kind of what Treasury Secretary Yellen calls the race to the bottom, is the one country tries to outdo the other in lowering their tax rates. Probably the best one is Ireland, which has a 12% corporate tax rate. And that's why Google and Facebook and all these companies have set up offices in Ireland, because the corporate tax rate is so low there. That's the race to the bottom. So we're never going to be the lowest. But going from 21 to 28%, we're not going to be the highest, but we're going to be nearer the highest. At 21, we're kind of in the middle.
Okay. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll come right back. Again, you got a question for Jordan, please call us. Lines are open, 303-477-5600, 303-477-5600. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. Make sure that vehicle's in top working order. Last thing you want is to be stuck on the side of the road because you didn't prepare for it, which is what we try to get you to do financially speaking as well. But in this case, make sure your car is ready to go. They can do that for you. And right now, it's best to invest in what you own, because used car prices are an all-time high and new cars are hard to find, and their prices are up as well. 303-841-1071 or find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right? Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list, showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. How do you tap into some of that equity you're sitting on, especially if you're in an age where, you know, you just need some money to live on. You're sitting on all this equity. Maybe the house is even paid for. We'll get into that with Jordan as well in a little bit. In the meantime, call Bruce, 303-467-7821. That's American Liberty Mortgage, or find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others, so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now, A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush leading the way along with Andy Pate. And on the line right now, we have Jordan Goodman. Jordan, before we go any further, I want to ask about this whole blow up with Archegos, okay, the hedge fund. And what I don't understand is this. Why did they fall apart? I mean, was this as simple as Bill Wang basically borrowing too much money for risky investments like Viacom? Or does this go a lot deeper than that? What happened, and what is the fallout going to be for the rest of us?
Fallout is major. So this is one of the big guys on Wall Street. Now, he was doing what's called a family office as opposed to a hedge fund. A family office is where you run money for a very wealthy family. Okay. And they have less disclosure requirements than hedge funds, where you have to kind of know what they're doing on a quarterly basis. He did not file the so-called 13F saying what he owned ever. He had been around for about 8 years. So people didn't really know what he owned or how much he borrowed. He had raised about $10 billion, and his portfolio was worth about $40 billion, and the rest of it was borrowed. He was doing margin, and he was concentrating his portfolio in two big stocks particularly, Discovery Communications and CBS Viacom. The stocks went from about 50 to about 100. So he was making lots of money, and then for other reasons than him, the stocks started going down. And he had a margin call. And when you have a margin call, that means you've got to put up money or they sell out your position. He did not have the money to maintain his positions. And he was across the street. Morgan Stanley and Nomura and Credit Suisse and all these places were, they all sold at once. And in fact, even today, they've been selling more. CBS went from about 100 to 49 in like one trade, basically. And wiped out a lot of people. So now, that was like 2 weeks ago. Now we're finding out the huge losses that this has caused on Wall Street. Credit Suisse alone losing about $5 billion because of this. Nomura about $2 billion. Another major Wall Street firm's losing huge amounts of money. So it's really unsettled things a lot. Where else is this happening out there? You know, it's like we thought we had everything under control, and we didn't. The amount of leverage he did, the fact that it wasn't really well known, dumping all at once. I mean, it was just been a disaster.
Well, not that I'm the smartest guy in any room, but going after the stocks that he was, knowing the future of where we're at with subscription-based, you know, in other words, cable, satellite, those sorts of things really tanking, if you would. I mean, you can see that handwriting on the wall there, and
well,
yet that guy's investing
way
in
up. The drop, he had driven the stocks way up, and he became the largest shareholder of CBS Viacom, for example. And, you know, went up to 100. It went from 50 to 100,
right.
And then when it started going down, I think there was a small reason. Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All
mm-hmm.
Access, did
right.
not get off to as good a start
right.
as I thought it was going to do, something like that. So some relatively small piece of news made the stock start going down, and then it started going down more, and then they got a margin call. When you're on margin, you have to maintain a certain amount in your position. When the stock goes down,
you got to call
that's
it.
What a margin call is.
Yeah, you got to write a check, right?
And he had to write a check for several billions of dollars. He was not able to do so.
That he didn't have, right?
Which he didn't have because all of his growth was based on leverage. And it just unraveled really quickly. And then all these Wall Street firms had these blocks of stock. They were all selling all at once. It was just a waterfall decline on some pretty major stocks.
Yeah, and real quick, explain, what's a block trade? I was reading today, and if I don't understand all of that, I'm sure I've got listeners that don't as well. What is a block trade?
Well, a block is where you have a large amount of stock being traded all at once, you know, like 10 million shares or 100 million shares or however many it was. And obviously, when you sell them in one block, it makes the price go down more than if you kind of feather it in over time.
And is all that legal?
It's legal, but it disrupts the market.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with block trading.
Okay.
But all the risk management people, there are people in all these Wall Street firms who are supposed to manage the risk the firms are taking. They all look really stupid on this point.
Okay.
The only place that wasn't dealing with him was JP Morgan Chase, and they just didn't like what he was doing. But everybody else pretty much was dealing with him. So this is bad in itself, but it's symptomatic of the amount of risk in the system. Because you've got all these hedge funds, all these family offices borrowing lots of money. As long as the stock market keeps going up, everybody's happy. But it's like a canary in the coal mine of what kind of risk is being taken out there.
Well, Jordan, I wanted to ask, did anybody look kind of smart in all this? Like, did Morgan Stanley get out a little earlier than some of the others? Did some
yes.
people jump out quickly?
They did. They did. So it was like 2 weekends ago, Thursday, when the thing started to crack. And so some people, yes, the risk management people said, sell it all, you know, right away. Sell your seat because he's not meeting the margin call, so we have to sell out his position.
Okay, no question. Is that public knowledge at that point?
Kind of. I mean, people could see. They might not know exactly who was selling, but they could see the stock plummeting, and all the traders could see there's these huge blocks of stock coming on the market
okay.
at the same time.
Okay. What about the margin call? Do they know he can't pay that at that point, or is that inside
yes.
stuff?
Well, I mean, it came out very quickly that this is where it was all coming
okay.
from.
Okay, okay.
Because people knew he was concentrated in these stocks.
Okay.
And why the rest of the stock market is doing fine, and all of a sudden these two stocks, there were some others, but those are the biggest ones, plummet.
Okay.
CBS going from 100 to 50 in like one trade. Something unusual is going on. Nothing fundamental changed with the company overnight. So this kind of reminds me a little bit. Way back in 1998, there was a company called Long Term Capital Management, you might remember. And this is all these super smart Nobel Prize winning guys. Nothing could ever go wrong. And there was a series of events that kind of happened at the same time. And their hedge fund plummeted by about $35 billion pretty much overnight. And all the major domos of Wall Street got together in one room and said, we've got to save this thing or we're going to bring the entire financial system down. And they did.
Hmm.
And the Federal Reserve was there as well. Now, this isn't that big, but there's a lot of risk in the system. As long as the stock market's going up, nobody seems to worry. It's kind of like Warren Buffett's classic phrase that we don't know who's wearing bathing suits until the tide goes out, right?
Hmm.
Hey, Jordan, two quick questions. First of all, do you carry your Nobel with you to every meeting? Like,
I do.
Set it on the table?
I prominently, and I bring lights to kind of...
Yeah, there we go. Swirling around.
And secondly, more importantly, looking forward, when there's a mass sell-off like this
yes.
on something, does that provide opportunity for that something going forward? Might it bounce back somewhat?
It was not based on fundamentals. It was based totally on supply and demand of the stock. And
not how well the companies themselves were doing.
Had nothing to do with that at all. Yeah. I mean, a stock goes from CBS, which is a big company, going from 100 to 50 in pretty much one trade. Nothing fundamentally happened with the company that day. But the supply and demand, the supply of stock coming on the market was dramatically higher. Everybody's selling these blocks. And there just weren't enough buyers to buy these things at those prices. So that's why it plummeted.
Okay. All right. We come back. I want to talk interest rates. And this leading into not only that question and discussion, but, you know, where do you see for the average, you know, taxpayer, you know, people that are listening to the radio, where's the economy headed? You know, what should we be preparing for? And so on. We'll talk to Jordan as soon as we come back about that. So don't go anywhere. If you got a question for Jordan, call us 303-477-5600. Jordan, real quick, what's your website?
MoneyAnswers.com. Get emails from your folks all the time and lots of resources to help them at MoneyAnswers.com.
All right, folks. Franktown Firearms is next. If you're looking to buy a firearm, now is the time. It's about a five-day wait. So get in, get it done now. And they've got decent inventory. I say decent inventory. That changes daily, of course. So make sure that you either go in or call ahead of time and find out what they've actually got. Ammo is the same way. All the accessories, though, there's good inventory on that side of the fence. So whatever you need, one-stop shopping. And don't forget, all the training is there as well. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms. Confidence through practice.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, "Love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason. I'm your host, John Rush. Andy Pate with me as well. Jordan Goodman, of course, America's Money Answer Man. One question that we were talking, Jordan, during the break that we want to start with before we even get into interest rates is how much of the market right now is propped up by these sorts of deals where a lot of the stock has been, you know, borrowed essentially?
A lot. Margin lending is at record levels.
So is there data on that that shows how much there actually is?
Oh, there's tons of margin. The Federal Reserve keeps those that data out there. There's just a ton of margin debt. Interest rates are very, very low, so it's very cheap to borrow, and it amplifies your returns on the way up.
Okay, so for everybody listening, I understand this but because I've read enough about it, but for everybody listening that maybe doesn't understand what we mean by that margin and him having to write a check and so on, explain that in, you know, as short a time as you can.
Okay. So margin is where you borrow against the value of the stock to buy more stock, basically.
Okay.
The margin rules are the most you can borrow is up to 50% of the value of the stock. Now, the reason it's at 50% is way back in the 20s, margin was 10%. And that's one of the things that fueled the go-go era of the 20s. Was people would put down 10%, borrow 90% of the value of the stock, and push it up dramatically. And when the crash of 1929 happened, that's why you got wiped out so quickly, because you had almost no equity in the stock, and you got wiped right out. So when the SEC came along in 1933, And then subsequent Fed Reserve rules, they put in a 50% margin rule. But you can still have a lot of leverage at 50%, but not as much as in the days of the 20s when you had 10% margin.
Hey, Jordan, really quick. Let's say you get promoted. You are literally God.
Okay.
What percentage do you think would be ideal?
I think 50% is okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's unreasonable. The brokerage houses monitor this margin, and in theory, if you're getting too leveraged, they'll shut you down or say you can't take on that much. They're supposed to look at the suitability of the investor and see how much experience they've got and what their balance sheet is and are they willing and able to take these kind of risks. When things go against you, you got to be able to put up money quickly and that you don't send them a check and it clears in 7 days. It's got to be like instant or they clean out your portfolio. They'll sell the stock to meet the margin call. So that's what brokerage firms are supposed to do. But in this case, a lot of people did not know how much Archegos had borrowed to push up these stocks, particularly CBS and Discovery, so dramatically.
John, it's kind of disturbing how comfortable Jordan is with becoming God. I mean, he just transitions instantly into that.
Okay, how does this transition into...
It goes with my Nobel Prize, by the way.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
How does this transition into interest rates and all of that, or does it?
Well, it doesn't transition into interest rates, but it certainly means the volatility
of the
stock
market. How does it affect it, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
I mean, the losses that Wall Street is taking on this make people more conservative and more worried. Interest rates have been rising. The 10-year Treasury is now about 1.7%. A year ago, it was maybe 0.5%. So it's like tripled in the last year or so from a low base. I think it could go considerably higher because inflation is clearly picking up. Last week, we had the producer price index up 4.2% at annual rate, which is the fastest since 2006. And you see it around you. You see lumber prices going way up. You see home prices. You see oil prices. Most commodities have gone up a lot. The supply disruptions have just made it worse, including when the Suez Canal was blocked for a week or so. That just kind of screwed up the entire global
And COVID is affecting inflation.
And COVID's affecting inflation as well. So some areas of the economy are still depressed when they've closed places down, but other areas are booming when they open up. I mean, travel. People have not been able to travel for roughly a year, and now you're seeing huge bookings in airlines and hotels. Cruises, they're not sure when they're going to start again, but there's going to be a huge surge in travel, which means prices are going to be going up. So there is definitely inflationary pressures. Now, what's interesting is Fed Chairman Powell basically says he's not worried about it. He was on 60 Minutes and other places and said, we want inflation over 2%. And then maybe we'll start thinking about raising interest rates. They're going to keep interest rates at zero, what they control, for the rest of the year and probably into 2022.
Which, if you add in gas and food, aren't we above that anyways?
The official CPI is still not over 2%. It's made up of a basket of goods, which may not be representative of people's real lifestyles. Housing has gone up a lot, both the price of homes and apartment rents. That's been a big area of inflation, way more than 2%. Other areas, like electronics, keep coming down. Okay? Every time you get a new computer, it's more powerful and cheaper. But commodities have gone up a lot. Oil and corn and grains and copper, all those things, if you look at the charts, they're up a lot. And that kind of translates into consumer prices eventually. But right now, the real hot inflation is at the producer level.
Hey, Jordan, I know back on risk, I know that this causes a lot of concern throughout the market, but wasn't it too isolated? I mean, a couple banks take a bath, but a lot are still doing very well, right?
Yes, but if Credit Suisse, which is a big player, took a $5 billion loss out of the blue, okay, that means layoffs. That means it's going to come out of other places as well. So this is a bloodbath across Wall Street. The only place that was not hit was J.P. Morgan Chase, which wouldn't deal with Archegos. I think it might make them more cautious about who they deal with in the future.
Well, you would hope. Being
on the other hand, they like to make money.
How does that position J.P. Morgan versus the others who did take a bath? I mean, I know in the regular business world, when you don't get hit and all your competitors do, you are suddenly in a very good position.
And they are. That's correct. Now, remember, they've taken huge losses in the past. Remember, they bought Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual. And, I mean, there's things that they've done in the past that have not worked that well. But in this particular case, their risk management people I heard that after the crash of 2008-2009, that they had to hire 50,000 compliance officers to on everything, on loans, on trading, and all these kind of things. Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, said he could fill up 3 Madison Square Gardens with his compliance officers.
So. Wow.
I'll just bet that there is someone who somewhere in a boardroom at J.P. Morgan said, don't invest in this, and now that person just got promoted.
Don't lend to them, basically, is what
yes.
happened.
Yeah, don't lend to them. Don't go in for this.
That's
and
right.
now they're looking great. Someone somewhere correct. Said don't.
But they were the only ones. Everybody else played along. Because it's very profitable to lend to these hedge funds. That's a huge part of it. I would say 70 to 80% of trading these days is hedge funds. They are by far the majority mm-hmm. of the volume in the market. They do the so-called high-frequency trading, where they're literally trading millions of shares every microsecond. And it's a speed race. It has nothing to do with what the stocks are doing them fundamentally. It's all buying and selling, often buying, you know, at 1 cent and selling at 1.1 cent or something like that. But you'd sell a billion shares and, it all adds up.
Sure.
That's the majority of trading. It's not mom and pop buying 100 shares these days.
Hey, Jordan, getting back to inflation, because obviously it is going up. It's starting to kick in. We're printing money like crazy. And isn't that going to make wages have to start to jump to go with it? And the reason I bring that up is, okay, they want to raise taxes on various brackets. But as wages start rocketing up to go with inflation, doesn't that rocket more people into those brackets?
Not really. I mean, what Biden's talking about doing is raising taxes for those over $400,000
right.
in income. So, no, most people are not going to be getting to that level. So I would not worry about their taxes going up. But they are definitely talking about raising taxes on wealthier people. The marginal rate in 2017 came down from 39.6 to 37. So they're talking about bringing it back up to that rate. And this is happening at the state level as well, where I am in New York. Just had a big tax increase on rich people, both from New York City and New York State. California's done the same thing. And they're driving people out of these states. When you raise taxes, you incentivize people to leave and not stick mm-hmm. around and pay those taxes. And where are they going? Florida, Texas, low-tax states.
Right.
And so those places are booming with ex-New Yorkers, ex-Californians that are leaving the high-tax environment. That's only going to get higher tax.
All right, so for the common person listening, all the things we've talked about already, we're seeing some inflation. Housing, especially here in Colorado, is, of course, just continues to, I can't even believe it, Jordan. It just keeps climbing every week, I think. We're at the top. And
there's
things
a shortage.
Yeah, there is. And there's not going to be I don't see any reprieve in that in the near future. So when it comes to looking down the road, and there's all sorts of people out there predicting great recessions, even a great depression coming, what do you see coming down the pike?
With the amount of stimulus we've got going, I don't see any kind of depression, recession anytime soon.
Okay.
Assuming the stimulus, the stimulus bill's already passed, assuming the infrastructure bill, at least some of it gets passed, that is a major amount of new money coming into the economy. And we don't have that much slack. I don't know if we have the workers to do all these roads and bridges that we're talking about. I mean, there's just not a lot of construction workers today. There's a shortage of doing construction mm-hmm. on homes. So I don't know where we're going to come up with the workers to do all this work. So
that's one of the
labor
questions
market
I have.
Could get tight.
Yeah, no, it frankly, I think it already is. That's one of the things we're not hearing. I don't think we're hearing the honest answers when it comes to that. Yes, there's some folks that are unemployed, but I was just on purpose was noticing today how many different companies, not, you know, I'm not talking, you know, Wendy's, Burger King, and so on, but how many different companies have big, huge help wanted signs hanging yep. outside of, you know, out of their place of business, industry, and so on. And, I mean, every place from, you know, I pass part of Coors on my way here, Jordan. You know, Coors has a big sign out front. You know, hiring now, you know, inquire within, things along those lines. There's a shortage as we speak. I don't think we're being told the truth on that.
So the Federal Reserve does a report called the JOLTS report, which is the Job Openings Long-Term Survey. At the peak of the market in like 2019, early 2019, it got up to about 8 million jobs unfilled. Last I looked, it was about 5 million jobs unfilled. So it's not as extreme as it was when the Trump economy
still a
was
lot,
booming.
Though.
But still a lot of people, yeah. 5 million jobs available. They cannot find the people to either willing or able or trained to take those jobs. So yes, even after the pandemic, we still have tons of jobs. And in many cases, they're manual jobs or tool and die makers or
warehouse jobs, that, things like that. Yes, yeah,
doing things that in the past.
It's called work. W-R-K.
It's called work.
Jordan, Jordan, you say willing or able. Which one of those do you think is the bigger factor right now?
Willing.
Yes, agree.
I think a lot of people are not willing to do.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, they don't want to drive a forklift. They don't want to go out in the warehouse. They don't want to be a you know, a packager or somebody that does bottling or whatever the case may be.
Exactly, exactly. So I think a lot of them are not willing and able. I mean, there's a lot of training that is necessary that is not being done in computers. And I mean, to be a car mechanic today, you got to be a computer whiz. It's not right, and a lot of people are not trained to do that.
Yes, no, and you're I mean, that's my field, of course, and you're talking about things, Jordan, that, you know, frankly, you know, we took the trades out of high school probably back in the mid-'80s. They haven't really come back since, and we wonder why we have these shortages.
What kind of training does it take to become a car technician these days? I mean, how long does it take to do it right?
You need some basic fundamentals, which would probably take you a couple of years of schooling to get through your basics. And then you need somebody to really mentor you and really to be solid, Jordan. It depends on, of course, the ability of the individual, how, you know, how quick they catch on, you know, what kind of skill set do they have and so on. If they're, you know, if they're of the right mindset, willing to work and do things correctly, you know, they can learn pretty quickly within 5 years. You know, they literally can have enough experience.
That's a long time.
But you can't create
these people instantly.
But get this, they'd have enough under their belt where literally if they do things correctly and get in with the right, and get on the right team, you know, the right business, I should say, you know, they could put in 4 or 5 years of their life and so in their early 20s be making $100K a year. I don't think you can go to college and there's very few college jobs that'll come out and pay you that.
So that takes dedication and you really want to be willing to learn about these things and get your hands dirty. And
yes.
You know,
yeah, you know,
it's
great, literally,
but a lot of people are not willing to do that kind of effort.
You're right. It is literally, you know, I know. I mean, I can tell you from a body of a 56-year-old now that did that for some, you know, really probably 30 years of his life. I can tell you that, yes, it takes its toll on your body and it's hard work. But, you know, the other thing that we don't promote enough, though, you know, Jordan, is those individuals I just mentioned that can actually start making money at the end of 5 years, you know, literally making anywhere from 80 to 120K, depending upon their skill set and how well they learn and do. Yes, they've got an investment in tools, but the education side of it is pretty minimal. They're not going to have a huge investment, not have any huge student debt. I mean, they're going to be financially speaking much better off than their counterparts. But to your point, it takes work.
It takes work and it takes dedication. I mean, 5 years to be able to get to that level. The young generation, I don't want to paint them all with a brush, but they're more into instant gratification.
You're correct.
They're used to video games where you shoot somebody and you win in 5 seconds or something, and how many points do you get? You know, and TikTok and Snapchat, everything's instant. And to devote yourself to 5 years of training to know how to do this right is something a lot of young people are not willing to do, frankly.
Quick question for John. John, when it comes to mechanics nowadays, are they still just going to be one guy has to learn how to do all of this stuff, including the new computer-oriented things? Or are you going to see a lot of shops where they got a couple guys who really specialize in that?
Yes, but if you want to, you know, to answer back to Jordan, if you know, to your question, Jordan, if you want to make the big money and you want to be that guy making the 100K figure and above, you're going to have to be the guy that understands all of the diagnostics and the. And by the way, here's the side note to that, though. If you learn all of that, Jordan, you will be the guy that will probably have a job for a much longer time frame, and it won't be as hard on your body because you're doing more of the diagnostics and working on things. You know, you're not pulling transmissions out and doing differential work and brakes and things like that. You're going to be doing more of the high-end work. Problem is, and I'll be real honest with you guys, the problem is that's a different skill set than what a lot of individuals have because you're now, you'll probably even, I'll go as far as saying this, you're actually probably on a level of not even the computer programmer themselves, but maybe even a notch above because you're trying to figure out what that guy do wrong. That's probably the best way for me to explain it.
You're troubleshooting.
Yeah. You're of a higher level even of that guy.
But, I mean, they're not teaching this kind of thing in schools.
We're not. And it's going to kill us. It already is right now, guys.
Yeah. So that's why you have this shortage of people who are trained, willing or able or educated or trained to do the kind of jobs that are out there.
I want to talk about how to get your mortgage paid off faster when we come back. But one thing I want to throw at you to think about and noodle on as we're taking a break, is there any decent investments when it comes to trade schools and teaching, some of the things we just talked about. We'll come back and talk about that as well. Jordan Goodman with us again, America's Money Answer Man. Michael Bailey, mobile estate planner. He wants to help you make sure that your estate is in order before you leave this earth. It's easy to find him, klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Golden Eagle Financial is up next, folks, and Al Smith would love to help you. A lot of what we're talking about right now. He's your guy. Give him a call. He'll help dial you in when it comes to the future. 303-744-1128, or again, find him at klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now, you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Jordan Goodman with us today. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Okay, Jordan, is there any type of opportunity investment-wise when it comes to filling the need of some of what we just talked about?
Actually, I've got a whole bunch of them at moneyanswers.com as far as learning the skills you need for these things. And I'm just giving you some examples. There's one called Wiz Labs, another one called 360 Training, another one called Plural Sight, and another one called LinkedIn Learning. In the resource section of moneyanswers.com, I've got a whole education learning section. And each one of these has online courses in whatever you want to learn. Could be car mechanics, could be tool
and the, and I'm very familiar with the LinkedIn Learning one. That was a Linda Learning to begin with before they bought it. It's a great part of their site, by the way.
So it's all there. And you can learn these. You have to be devoted to it. But what I like to say is find the job you want first and then get the training for that specific job. And then they'll be jumping all over you.
So we just had a caller call in and say, great, this is all fine and dandy what we're talking about. Where are these workers going to come from if we either, A, Jordan, don't grow our own, which is what we really should be doing, but if we don't, where do we find them then?
Immigration, which we've been not bringing them in many cases. We've been restricting immigration. People want to come to America. And in many cases, highly skilled people want to come to America. And we've been restricting that to some extent, both legal and illegal immigration we've been holding down. So you're right. I mean, the current childbearing population is not having many kids in America. We're draining ourselves.
Yeah, we cannot replicate, economically speaking, what we have going on with our birth rate.
We're below the replacement rate
right now.
That's correct.
That's right.
So they're not having babies, but the current millennial generation is actually quite a large generation because it was the last babies the baby boomers could have before they weren't in the childbearing years anymore. So the 1988 to 1993 cohort, something like that, was actually a pretty large amount of people. That's one of the reasons the housing market is so hot.
That's right.
Is those people that were born roughly 30 years ago are now reaching their
Homes.
Home buying and forming families. And that's driving the housing market. So at the moment, we've got them. But in the future, I guess they call it the birth dearth, right?
Yes.
That we're going to have fewer kids.
Which, by the way, has killed certain countries. We have to be careful of that here.
Well, you see in Europe, in Germany, in Italy, in France, a lot of places, they do not have close enough. Their populations are falling. Japan is another dramatic example.
Yeah.
You get a very old society.
That's right.
and you don't have enough young people to pay for all the older people is what it comes down to.
Hey, Jordan, do you foresee with any of these, like the tech schools, and you mentioned a few of the online opportunities to learn some of these things for, you know, for the trades, do you see any possibility of some of the colleges seeing an opening there and partnering with them? Because a lot of times people, they think of college, they just think of college. They don't think of the trades. What about somebody like CU saying, hey, man, I see an opportunity there
a
and
little
partnering.
Bit, but not too much. That's not the way they think of themselves.
Nope.
They look down their noses.
That's right.
At technical schools.
That's right. Right?
We okay. don't do technical things.
By the way, I think it's a big mistake, but you're right, Jordan.
Isn't that their attitude?
Yes, it
general?
Is. You're correct. Yes.
I remember going, I'll tell you exactly where it was. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I went to Reed College in Oregon, and I was going to do a whole personal finance thing, and I talked to the head of the economics department, and he said to my face, we don't do anything practical. That's beneath us. They'll figure that out later. That's exactly what he said to me. I said, I could show them how to open checking accounts and how to do a rent lease and lease their first car. And he said, no, 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 that's far too practical. It's beneath our academic standards. That's exactly what he said.
Well, and also, you don't lock somebody in for 4 years to be a great plumber.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
Yeah. No,
we need plumbers.
Right. You're right. No,
all
you're
the
right.
plumbers are retiring.
Yeah, no, or own their own business, and they're still, again, we could talk about this for a solid 3 hours. Tell us real quick, in a couple of minutes, how do you pay your mortgage off fast?
So there's a strategy called mortgage acceleration, where you can pay off a 30-year mortgage in like 5 to 7 years, something like that. There's a website for that, truthinequity.com. And basically what happens is you use a home equity line of credit or some kind of a line of credit where you keep your income, which is normally sitting in the checking account doing nothing, in the line of credit, pushing your balance down every day. They call it average daily balance. And now you're actually making progress on your principal instead of a traditional mortgage where you have a 30-year mortgage. The first 10 to 15 years, you're making almost no progress on the principal whatsoever. So it's just a new way of running the cash flow so that your money is actively pushing down your principal and you pay it off and literally save 25 years off mm-hmm. your mortgage and tens of thousands of dollars in needless interest. I've got a whole bunch of things on this at moneyanswers.com. And again, the website truthinequity.com. It's helped a lot of your listeners in the past. You do not have to be paying this exorbitant amount of interest for many, many years.
Jordan, it's always a joy having you. The hour goes by really fast. We'll look forward to talking to you in May, sir.
Very good. Thank you both.
Hey,
appreciate
good stuff.
It.
Appreciate it very much. Let's Thanks. Do this. American National Insurance is next. Paul Leuenberger. He was on Fix It Radio, by the way, just a few minutes ago, which we replay every Tuesday from 2 to 3. So you heard Paul just a few minutes ago before the show came on. Our show came on here, I should say. Any questions you've got for Paul, though, just call him directly. He's a great guy. He'd love to chat with you. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the No Surprises Insurance Agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Andy asked me a great question during the break. Why do we have tax dollars even going to some of these quote-unquote higher ed institutions like CU/CSU?
Yeah, because, John, I mean, let's face it, the big reason they don't want to have a 1 to 2 year program where you make real money as an electrician or, you know, doing the higher diagnostics as a mechanic is because everybody who's doing a 4 year program right there on campus would see a cheaper way to make more money. Right. It would crush the rest of their
business. Competition.
So the question is, why are we giving them any tax dollars?
Great question.
To wall out more profitable ventures like that? Because it should be a great idea.
Yeah, what I liken it to is why are we giving them money to help us as a country do worse than better?
Yes.
Literally. We're giving them money to actually defeat the country, not prop the country up.
They're literally not doing what the consumer, the customer needs. They're not providing what the customer needs.
No, and I'll throw this in real quick. I know we only got 20 seconds left, but the other part of the equation here, the persons that I blame in all of this are parents. A lot of parents, just like those higher institutions, will look down their nose at individuals that work on cars or frame a house or put a roof on or wire up a house on the electrical side or do the plumbing and so on. They look down at those individuals, so they don't want their kid to be one of those.
Right.
And by the way, huge mistake.
They want their kid to be higher than that, to be the person who hires those people,
yeah.
Not be one of those people.
You got it. And by the way, huge mistake.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back, talk more about that. If you're listening to our replay hour, thank you very much. We do appreciate it. But Andy and I will be back for hour number two. It is next right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.